Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents.
I really want to lose 3 pounds.
Yeah, no, don't put me down for cardio.
Diet starts tomorrow.
Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy.
I want to quit the gym.
Happy people just don't shoot their husbands.
With hosts Aileen Cooperman.
Joey doesn't share food.
And Sammy Fishbein.
Whatever, I'm getting cheese fries.
Hello and welcome back to Diet Starts Tomorrow, Dear DST Edition. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
I feel like I'm doing like a news reporter voice, like, and we're back.
With the news,
except we don't have news. We have non-scale wins and we have a Dear DST, an advice seeker, seeking advice from none other than us.
Yes.
So let's do some non-scale wins because we didn't get to in our last episode as usual because our guests are amazing and... you know, who needs to hear from us?
It just works. Yeah. I mean, we got people coming back to the non-scale win episode. So
seriously.
Dear DST, non-scale wins.
So. All right. You want me to read our listener non-scale wins and then we can go into ours?
Yes.
Yeesh. Okay. Dear Sammy and Aileen, first of all, I'm a huge fan of the show and you guys are a main part of why my relationship with food is now ellipses good. Ellipses. Is that an ellipses?
That's a squiggle.
What's an ellipses?
That's dot, dot, dot.
You're right. No, what's the
squiggle? I don't know what this squiggle is called.
Hold on. Squiggle. Oh, it's a tilde.
Oh, right. It is a tilde.
Dare I? Okay. So my relationship with food is now tilde good, tilde. Dare I say great. I've always had pretty similar eating thoughts to the ones you guys talk about. And it wasn't until March when I discovered a bunch of intuitive eating podcasts like this one that I realized I didn't always have to be controlled by food. Long story short, I never wanted to have quote unquote good food in the house, like junk food and desserts for obvious reasons. Whenever I would get takeout Chipotle, for example, I'd feel like I needed to eat it all because I'd never have that chance again. The other night, I got a burrito, not a bowl or a salad from Chipotle along with chips and guac. I ate half the burrito with the chips and decided I was full. I had no end of the world urge to finish all of it and I put it in the fridge for the next day. Then the whole entire day went by and I didn't even remember I had the burrito in the fridge. I wasn't consumed by thoughts about when I would eat it. It was just completely irrelevant. I was shocked when I opened the fridge and saw it there and I sat down to immediately write this email. Oh, that's so cute. That makes me so happy. Like she just had something really positive happen and then she just wants to tell us. I love it.
I know.
Shout it from your email.
What is your name? Oh, okay.
Okay, we'll get
put your real name. Okay.
I think I was able to do this for a lot of reasons. I no longer have the end of the world mentality about good food. I think she means like technically.
She means like the junk food. Like what the world calls junk food. Fried foods, like, desserts, candy, chips.
Technically what people say is bad food, but she's calling it good food, which is actually
good because
really
it's
funny.
The food that tastes the most delicious. Mozzarella sticks, mac and cheese.
That's what I'm saying.
Sorry, Avi just snuck in here.
Seems like,
he's like, hello, give me the dog.
Which I find it really funny that like she's calling it good. And I think like subconsciously that like that works better for like for this purpose, right? Like we should call it good food.
I agree. It is the good food. That's what I've been trying to say the whole time.
Not good versus bad, but tastes good.
Yes, so, delicious foods.
Delish. Also, I spent most of the day cooking Indian food for the first time with all of the butter because I'm now allowed to make anything I want, even if it's not stereotypically, quote unquote, healthy. Anyway, you guys are probably the biggest catalyst of this mindset shift, and I wanted to say thanks. Love, half a burrito batch. Great name.
Yeah.
That is so great. I actually have never ordered a burrito. I'm saying this now, and maybe I'm going to try that tonight for
dinner. Get from Dos Toros. I used to get them in the office. Those are fucking delicious burritos.
I think I'm going to do that. That's my dinner tonight. I've just decided.
Tonight I'm making chicken katsu ramen.
Like ramen?
chicken katsu ramen. Chicken katsu is basically like breaded chicken, yeah, and then it's inside the ramen bowl of soup, and it's gonna be so fucking good.
It sounds really good.
Half-Baked Harvest, I am like addicted to her recipes. They're so good. They're so like the type of taste I like.
When you do that, question, do you go and buy, because I asked you about that website too, and because I want to also like kind of get back into cooking. Do you like go out and buy the ingredients for that, or do you pick like two recipes you want to make that week and buy it early?
So one thing is that at this point, because I have cooked so many times in the pandemic, I have a lot of weird ingredients. So like,
what are, like herbs, they go bad.
Like if you use fresh herbs, but not all of it calls for fresh herbs. But so what I'll do is I will either look for something that I have the ingredients for generally, or like something where if I didn't use an ingredient, it wouldn't be a huge deal. Or I will look for a few recipes that I want in the beat, like when I'm ordering Instacart, and I will add those like weird ingredients. But ultimately, like if you're working off of a base of like pasta or chicken or ground beef, like those are the key things. And then you just need to get like a few small extra things.
I always get so kind of turned away by the small extra things that I'm like, oh, fuck this, I can't. Like what, cumin? Like I don't think I have cumin.
Okay, I would say you should get a bunch of spices because it makes it easy. It makes it that you can make all these things.
Right.
And like you can actually do them without having to like.
What about like stock? Do you keep stock in the house?
Yes, we have stock. You should keep stock. We have a lot of weird stuff like that, like tomato paste, stock, like rice, pastas,
weird
like
stuff like
flour.
Rice.
Okay. No, like stuff that can be used for a lot of different recipes. A lot of vinegars, oils, and that's...
Yeah, I don't have any vinegars.
You know, I never used to keep anything in my house. We started keeping them because I was cooking more in the pandemic, so now there's more stuff left. And what she said about how, like, cooking with all the butter, like, part of why cooking sucks is because you're trying to make it healthy and use as little as possible. But when you add those ingredients that make it taste good, like Half-Baked Harvest uses a lot of red wine, it uses a lot of different cheeses, it makes it worth cooking because you can make something that's maybe as good as the restaurant.
Yeah. I'm really trying to get over that hurdle of like not of only sticking to these like healthy bare minimum recipes. To me, they were easier because they required so little ingredients.
They are easier, but they're not like that much easier. Like it's still going to take like maybe the difference is like 15 minutes versus like 30 or 45 minutes. But like, I also love to cook and listen to a podcast and kind of zone out like between like 5 and 6 p.m. before I record the morning announcements is what I'm trying to do now.
Right.
But okay. I'll definitely
keep checking
like,
that website.
Half-Baked Harvest is so good.
I like saved a bunch of them that I thought that I would like.
I also really like Mad About Food. She's on Instagram and she does a lot of like interesting stuff too. She has good like tips on her story also. And then the New York Times cooking. But New York Times cooking is also pretty extravagant.
Oh, Mad About Food. She follows me. Follow that.
Yeah, she's like, yeah. I think like
cool.
What this non-scale win is really about is I feel like that is the hurdle that you want to get over to stop feeling restricted. Once you can do that and you can sit with a burrito and not have it on your mind and you can keep food in the house, that's when you know that you've conquered to some degree.
That is so
your binge restrict cycle.
I'm exciting. Yeah, I agree. It's food freedom.
Yeah, food freedom. That's okay, what's your non-scale win?
My win kind of has to do with this actually. It's that, you know, as much progress as I've said I've made, I'm still sometimes get really pulled back in to that feeling that I don't have 100% freedom. And it reminds me that the journey is really a journey. It's not like bullshit journey. And so this little tiny win that I kind of noted for myself is showing me that really I am making progress. So I went grocery food shopping and I started making a list on my like refrigerator. Every time I think of it, I write stuff down and I went to the store and I was really craving like a weird, like sweet cereal that's technically not like you don't buy, you know, you go past that and you go to like the Cascadia.
Which one?
The fuck? I bought Trix.
Oh.
I bought Trix cereal.
Very, very fruity.
When I ate it, it reminded me of my childhood and it in such a nice way that I felt zero guilt. And like, not only did I buy that without any guilt, I put it in my thing. I was like, is anyone going to like think of me weird if they see it in my cart? I like put it like sideways and I was like, Aileen, you're going back. You're going back. So I put it back normal ways.
How do they know you don't have a kid? Like what are they judging you for eating Trix?
The point is that that thought that went in my mind, right?
Yeah. Right, right.
But it still was in my cart. So I overcame that obstacle. I pulled two things of pasta. I didn't even think about looking what has Seminola flour, none of that shit, regular pasta. I put it in my cart. I got two spaghettis. I didn't think any twice. I bought all of the dairy things. I really like left so proud of myself. Of course, it was so heavy. But then when I got home, I was like, wow, I'm so proud of myself carrying that too. I was just like, it was just like a nice grocery food experience. And I was like, put everything in my shelves in a way that was like, wow. And that's when I had that like moment of reflection where I was like, wow, I really experienced very, except for like that small Trix moment, experienced zero guilt about kind of buying this food, which I normally would have, right? And it was a nice moment.
Cereal is so fucking delicious. Like, I don't know. It's so sad that it's been so stigmatized. There's nothing like freaking Life cereal. I buy it these days.
Life?
I don't know.
Yeah, I was.
Life.
I was reviewing and I sat there and I like made it in, and I didn't sit. I didn't sit down in the grocery store. I stood there and I was like, used it as like a point to like check out all the food, all the cereals that maybe I used to buy when I was younger. I remember buying like the yogurt raisin brand. Like it had these like yogurt covered. And I remember when I was younger, I only bought them so that I could go and pick out all the yogurt covered raisin and eat them. I didn't eat the raisin brand.
That's the point of trail mix.
But yeah, exactly. But it was just funny. I looked at all the cereals. I was like, I don't want that. Like Apple Jacks. No, fuck that. Oh, but I really want the Trix. And I was like, Honeycomb, not into that, but maybe I would go for the Cocoa Puffs. I don't know if I will. It was just like a very like non-judgmental experience. And yeah, that's my win.
That's a great win.
Yeah. What's yours?
Cereal for life.
Cereal for life. What's yours?
Okay, so my win is I mean, it's not like that triumphant, but I will say it is a technique that I tried and I was proud of myself for like attempting it.
Okay.
So obviously my struggle is like with body acceptance at this point and like feeling like, oh, I gained weight. Like, I'm like, while I'm fine again in this current state in my heavier body, I don't feel like proud of it. Like I'm not taking, like I'm not excited to like look in the mirror and like take selfies and like do all that kind of stuff like when I was really feeling myself. So basically I like got out of the shower yesterday and I was like putting on a nap dress and I was like looking in the mirror and I'm thinking I look so like schlubby, and I was like I noticed I was standing really schlubby, and I was like kind of like hunched, and I was like, I noticed that I was sort of like almost making myself like look worse instead of like putting on an empowering, like feeling myself pose.
Yeah.
And I was thinking like, I always used to take pictures of myself when like I thought I looked good in something, and I would like just photograph like just to like prove that I did. And so what I was thinking, I was like, why don't I just do that now? Like, why don't I try to like do some poses or like try to like feel myself in this body and like take pictures of it and see what that looks like and just act like position myself sort of in the ways that I would have in the past when I was like feeling how I looked and I like wanted to like embrace it. So I started like posing and taking some pictures and like,
are you using my posing poses techniques?
I was trying. I'm still horrible at posing, but I was really trying to like embrace my body the way I would when I was in a thinner body by just putting on that sort of posture. And I don't know. I don't know. Like nothing really came of it, but I want to try to keep doing it just to make it like almost a practice so that like, because I don't know how I'm ever going to feel empowered in this body if I don't feel empowered in it, if I don't take some sort of action.
If you keep avoiding it.
Right. If I keep just like avoiding mirrors and like, and saying like, oh, it's fine. Like just like I'm ignoring the problem, or not the problem, but like ignoring the reality of how I feel about my body. Like, I'm not going to actually, I'm just avoiding the body acceptance piece.
Yeah. I mean, for me, my, I think that's great. It is so easy to avoid and like put it away than face it.
Yeah.
For me, my bathroom is covered in mirrors. So if I go into my shower, I can see my, you know, everything. I get out of the shower in order to dry myself. I have a full length mirror. So I have no fucking choice unless I close my eyes. So like, which once I did, but it really, you are forced to sort of look at yourself, and slowly, honestly, I've found that it just is what it is. You're just like, all right, okay.
Right.
This is me.
Right.
And then eventually you're like, oh, I kind of like that. When you're not facing, you're not focusing on all the, I don't know, when you're not like focusing on the negative.
Right. Like what I was trying to do, I was like, why don't I try to take a picture the way like Carolyn Moran takes a picture? Like she looks great and like owning her body in every photo. And like, obviously this is like something she does for a job, but like, that doesn't mean I can't take a mirror photo, like, with her sort of stance that's that feels owned. Like, it feels like she owns who she is.
So true. I'm so inspired by when she takes, like, underwear selfies. I almost feel weird liking them, but, like, I like them all the time because she just, like, exudes such confidence. And I remember her saying, like, that she was, you know, this is not something that she set out to do, but it was like a fear that she had overcome. And then eventually, like now she's just sharing them to her own Instagram. And I find that so inspiring. And that is just like one of those things where it's evidence of the fact that when we were like, just follow people that make you feel good versus bad, when it works.
Right. And it kind of got me thinking, like, will I ever share like a bikini photo in this body? And
I know. I think the same.
We'll see.
We'll see. Well, let's wait till summer.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, let's do a Dear DST.
All right, you read it.
Okay. Dear DST, big fan of all things Betches. Will acknowledge that this is a luxury problem, as Jared would say. I know there are bigger, more important things in the world, yet here I am submitting anyways. That's totally fine. For background, I was supposed to get married in 2020. We postponed to May 2021. We've accepted the big wedding we originally planned won't happen anytime soon and are planning to get married on our new date with precautions, small guest list, outside, mass distance, etc. Now to the part where it's relevant to your pod. During quarantine, I started to explore intuitive eating, largely due to this podcast. and found it really helped me in my relationship with food. A year ago, I'd say my disordered behavior was more focused on working out than restricting food. I would work out 3 times a day. I'd eat healthy, but would still eat pizza if I wanted. Instead, I'd treat food as a reward or would make up for that pizza by doing a long run or something. This behavior also had to shift since I was no longer going to the gym during quarantine. I bought a Peloton and some weights and realized that's all I really need. I started to intuitively work out instead of forcing myself to do HIIT, walks, and strength training daily. I've been feeling good and I'm proud of this progress. She has bullet points, just let me say.
Yeah.
This is the next bullet. Earlier in January, I decided to weigh myself for the first time in like 10 months, sparked by post-holidays, and saw I gained 10 pounds. I was a little shocked, but also I was happy. I didn't feel like I gained any weight. I decided to try on my wedding dress and it would not fit, like would not button. I was happy my first reaction with my half-on dress was, wow, I can gain 10 pounds and literally not notice a difference in my body. However, that sweet little moment was short-lived and I started to very much care about those 10 pounds. I realized my two options are lose weight or buy a new dress. New bullet. I know if I really wanted to lose weight, I could do it. I could get the obsessive about counting calories, forcing myself to work out intensely, introduce a habit tracker, hashtag recovering perfectionist. We should do a whole episode on recovering perfectionism. But I've come a long way this year and don't want to lose my forward progress. New bullet point. Financially speaking, it's hard for me to justify buying a new dress when this one was expensive for me and when we've already lost money from our first wedding. And I just would very much like to wear the dress I picked out originally on my wedding day. I guess my questions are, do you think it's possible to lose weight while intuitively eating and exercising in 1 to 2 months? Should I just suck it up, take the financial loss, and buy a new dress that fits my body? Any advice is appreciated.
This is
a hard one because it's
really hard.
It's bound by like the dress not fitting.
It's bound like, by like, two very like external things that are difficult, right? Like it's finances. That's a restriction, and or dieting, which is another restriction.
Well, she's not saying I cannot afford to buy another dress. She's saying it's hard to justify. So like, I think there are a lot of things when it comes to a wedding that are hard to justify. True. But the issue is that like she cannot fit in the dress. So it's not like she can just leave the problem.
Yeah.
Like she has to solve the problem.
Yeah.
Either she really does.
Okay. Well, first of all, it is not possible to lose weight while eating intuitively and exercising. Like it's just kind of counterintuitive. You would need to go on, especially in a when you're applying a time frame, especially that way.
Yeah.
So you need to go. You would need to go.
That's
on a
not
diet.
A long.
You need to go on a diet to lose 10 pounds. 10 pounds in 2 months, especially challenging. We all know you need to set your tracker to 2 pounds a week or 1.75 pounds a week. We all know how the calculations go depending on your height you or whatever. You know how much you need to restrict. So let's not pretend. So what I would maybe do is go to a tailor.
Yeah, that was kind of like, why no tailor? Why is that not an option? It's possible that the dress can't be altered is a possibility.
Yeah.
Like there's not enough fabric inside to alter to that size. Like it might be that. Okay. Here's what I would tell her. I think that you should get a new dress, and I understand that financially, that is a big decision. And I don't know like specifics of your budget. But I do think it is worth that don't think about it as like wasting a dress. I think about it as spending on your self-acceptance. Like, I think what you'd be saying by committing to the financial and emotional piece of buying a new dress, if you can't get this one tailored, by doing that, what you're saying is I'm worth the money. I'm worth the effort and I'm worth the acceptance at this weight, regardless of other, like put that above the other factors. Assuming again that it's like you can actually afford it and it's not like a bad decision, like a very bad decision in that way.
Yeah. Unless it's like not like an irresponsible financial decision. And then I would really go see the tailor approach first.
Yeah.
See how much it would cost to buy the fabric or similar fabric to make it work. See if that financial difference is much less than buying a new dress. Just like research. I would just compare it. I don't want to say go do one thing or the other, even though this is an advice podcast. You really just need to assess it. Just as maybe an anecdote that I could share is something like this brought for me is that I for my wedding, I switched my venues, right? I had one venue and then midway, I was like 6 months in, literally, I was like, I can't do it at that venue. It's not what I want. I did it too quickly. It's just like my things changed for me. And I took a financial loss of that deposit to find something that worked much better and made me happier in the end. So you can kind of use this example in the same way as like, choose the one where the aftermath is not going to be worse than it is better. So like if you choose to diet, okay, you chose to diet, but you might be setting yourself up at the end to a bigger mess. Like you might have made a bigger mess for yourself after those, you know, after your wedding mentally, because you know that you're going to want to go back to intuitive eating. Maybe you'll gain even more than 10 pounds back. So I would just do your research in terms of like, think of all the possible scenarios of both of these and then choose the one that aligns with where you want to be day after your wedding or maybe 1 month after your wedding.
Yeah. That's kind of why I think that like the diet move is like, yes, it seems so simple and I'm sure you could do it.
It's also simple because it seems like it's obvious. The easiest because it has no cost. Financial cost, but really there is a cost to it because the cost is the after. So think about like what it actually will do. Be realistic with yourself. Why you chose to do intuitive eating. The first thing of intuitive eating is to ditch the diet mentality. Why? Think about that. But again, I'm not going to push, I don't want to push that on you. It's your journey. But just consider all the costs, like do a cost benefit analysis, literally, and think about the tangible costs and the non-tangible ones. And good luck, honestly, happy wedding.
Yeah, regardless of what you pick.
It's an amazing day, but it's just one day.
Yeah.
And just remember that. And yeah, I hope that helps. I feel like that was a great yeah. email. I love
yes,
the bullet points.
It's so organized from... Oh, she didn't sign it.
So organized. Okay. She really gets her thoughts out.
Call her dress betch.
Say maybe to the dress betch. and just a reminder, we're still on the hunt for a DST content manager. We're interviewing a lot of people. We're still having a rolling interview process. So keep applying. All of that information is available on our website. If you go to the bottom, you can click apply, or it's on LinkedIn. You just look for Betches Media open positions. Anybody who's listening wants to work at Betches and has maybe doesn't think that they have the experience of a DST content manager, but maybe they're in sales or something. We have a lot of positions opening up this year, which we're really excited about. So go check that out. And yeah, that's exciting. It's exciting shit. So check it out. Email us your dear DSTs at dst@betches.com with the subject line dear DST so we can pick which ones we want to read on the show. And yeah, rate, review, subscribe, follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow, at Sammy, at Aileen. You know, all of the things that we usually say at the end of this episode apply here. And we're always with you
through thick and thin.
Betches.